8:32 actually, in presence today, our council members, Luke Brown, Capolini, Hussman, members of the city staff, Laura Bigelow and Mike Tanzi, a variety of city staff members and community members as well.
You told me you were going to open that.
I'm going to duck an answer.
We are here today to hear two presentations related to potential modifications to the City of Sylvania website. Just to remind everybody, Mike led some members of the staff and council through an RFP process initiated by the fact that we felt that the site, the current city website, was first not as compatible as it could be to social media at this point. That has was not really a factor when we put the original site together 5 years ago. And then secondly, Laura talked us a little bit about content changes, which are not as relevant here today. What we did was solicit RFP proposals. We received a number. Through a council process, skinnied that down to two. And so we're hearing from the two proposing companies today. The first one is RP, and we will give each of the two groups an hour, which will include questions both from members of council and also from other individuals that are here. I know that our various city departments have a high level of interest in how this all works, and so we want to give you a chance to ask specific questions about that as well. So unless there are any questions from members of council, we'll just move forward. And Brian, I'm going to let you introduce yourself to your team.
We have to slide.
We do. Well, perfect. Well, let's get going. So thank you very much. We have the folks here from RP.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And so I really have to leave, but you know, thank you. I'm going to drive from here. And excuse the grid. We didn't plan around. So real quick, we're going to make this. I think we're trying to get through this in about a half hour. So and if I have my back to you, that's not intentional. So we're going to do some introductions. We're going to do a brief overview of our team because most of you probably haven't, you know, worked with us or know much about us. We're going to talk about our strategic tools and processes for interactive development. We're going to go through our recommended approach. We're going to review a case study or two, depending on time. And then we're going to leave some time for questions and answers. So, and we don't have to wait for the answer questions. If you have a question, chime in. Both Lex and I love to chat, so just ask away. I guess this way, so it cuts me off. I'm Ryan Pitting. I joined RP about in 2010. And I have experience in strategic brand management and interactive brands. I was one of the unfortunate souls that actually jumped into the interactive world in 1994. I was at that point working at an agency that worked with Owen Storm, Calphalon, and helped them make their first generation site online. And since then, it's kind of one of those things that sucks you in, and you normally don't leave. And I've seen a lot of evolution, and I keep recruiting young people to keep me up to speed on what's changing, and there is a lot of change. And one of the things we've been talking today about is some of the changes that have happened. Because as Mark alluded to, and as Mike has talked through, there's a real desire here to have a website that works well on multiple devices. And the technology, even in the last year, has changed so much that what might have been a good solution a year ago or 9 months ago isn't the right solution today. So we're going to try and tell you what the right solution today is for not just phone, but for multi-device viewing of a website like yours. So we can go down there, but I've worked with Lazy Boy, Johnson & Johnson, Smithsonian. One of the last best projects I did was the Dollywood site. If you want to learn about Dollywood, that's my work. I'm pretty proud of that. Relevant experience, I've worked in destination hospitality attractions marketing, so I kind of understand what you folks are trying to do. I've done some economic development things, and so I kind of understand what the site needs to do in terms of bringing those people not only to the site, but getting them to kind of experience what you have to offer, and then kind of motivate them to look a little deeper. Lex joined us in 2009. Exit got there before I did. And he is a primary research analyst and an interactive guy that includes planning, execution, and analysis, so he gets the research side of it. So when I show him your information about branding and your customer profile and that stuff, like, he's a research guy. But he's also has two hats, like a lot of us at RPG. He's also our lead research interactive supervisor. He does a lot of the programming. He oversees our staff. He works with our customers one-on-one for tech support. He helps with host migration. He's very bright. So I lean on him pretty heavily. And if we were to be a word for word, you would lean on him very heavily as well. Strong competency in WordPress. He develops a lot of sites on WordPress. He also uses Skeleton. He also uses, you're going to be able to talk more about this than I am, but Bootstrap and some real dynamic programming that really helps sites be adapted for the world today. His experience includes Chicks for Charity. If you don't know Chicks for Charity, it's a fundraising vehicle that Martin Vetter started a few years ago that includes a lot of women business leadership and encourages women to give back to the community. U.S. Steel, NAMSA, and Building Life Ohio are also, we could have listed more, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Our story, just so you know, RP was founded in 1993 by three young professionals. They took on a philosophy right away of marketing public relations. What they mean by marketing public relations is that they don't think those things, you're able to separate those things very well. If you're doing marketing and doing public relations, you should really be speaking with one voice. So we found that RP has been ranked the top 1% of PR firms in the nation by PRWeek and also the top 1% of the U.S. in advertising age. And they did it once a few years ago where they were one of three agencies in the country that were the only ones to rank both. So it's a pretty unique offering. And I keep, like, I'm spinning in circles. I'm getting a little busy. So that's kind of like that.
We're at the dinner show today.
Yeah. And I think it's planned to see how good I am on my feet. Specialties include healthcare. Oh, we're 32 people over in Holland right now. They put a building up there 5 years ago or 6 years ago. If we do encourage you, work with you, I encourage you to come over at least for one meeting because it's a really pretty nice building. Specialists include healthcare, building products, the arts and associations. A few years ago, we founded Transcend Hospice Marketing Group. It was a need from a couple of clients that we had in the hospice arena. And that's what is considered the top hospice marketing group in the country. Stan Massey, who runs that, is probably known as, if not the, one of the top three hospice marketing professionals in the country. So that's almost a side, but we'd like to let people know that we have that, because probably fully a third of our staff is meant just to service that need. We actually service both. We're the interactive island, and we have a few other people who work with us, but we work with on both Transcend Business and RP side of the house. So we're members of all the alphabetical associations. Our approach is to start conversations, and I'm not going to go through these bullets. Our approach is to make sure that we're asking questions, we're listening, we're understanding how to move in before we try and bring solutions forward. Some of the information Mike provided us in the packet was awesome because we understand before we even get into it kind of where your brand stands, kind of who your audiences are, kind of what you're trying to accomplish without having to deep dive into primary and secondary research yet. So the idea here is, though, is we talk to constituencies, we understand what you're trying to accomplish from a customer, a business leader, a services and community security perspective. And then we try and bring forward the site that meets those, and you connect this kind of say, you know what, we want to build this kind of site, let's see how this stuff plugs in. We listen to you first. And that's really what starting conversations is about. And we love to talk about what Yogi Berra, everybody loves quoting, but he says it was impossible to get a conversation going, everybody was talking too much. So we always try and listen and make sure that we've got our ears screwed on straight so we can understand what you mean. It's amazing how that doesn't happen. We actually have a course that was offered at an old agency that I went to called Business Listening, because people have forgotten how to listen. This is what we do. We do strategic insight, which includes all the research and strategy pieces. We do creator, which includes both offline and online. We do public relations, as we stated, we do interactive, which we're here to talk about today, and we do media planning online, both digital and traditional. So we've got all those resources in-house. We also invest in a lot of resources in media, interactive, and programming, and processes that allow us to meet your needs as best we can. So when someone's planning media in our office, they don't just pull up some out of their head, they go to the planning software that we purchase, and when we're doing billing, we use the trafficking information in our office. We use trafficking common software to make sure that all the efficient. So it's worth 35% maybe, so that we have a lot of professional schools and have to see the needs of our clients. These are some of the current clients. I'll qualify this by saying these are not agency of record clients. The days of agency of record, as many can attest to, are becoming fewer and fewer. And what we term, these are ongoing large project clients that we can claim a relationship with. And some of these we're working on interactively. BP, we do copywriting for the site. Smithsonian, we do interactive planning for them. US Steel, we do full websites for them. Libby, we do consultation on websites. So you can see that all these things are touching us interactively. And these are clients that I would say that, for the most part, I'm guessing if you take our hospice clients outside of it, these clients are probably our primary clients today. Would you say that's
yep.
fair? Yeah. They're the reason we run around like fools most days. These are, in terms of our historic interactive experience, these are clients we've worked with over the last, I would say, 6 to 7 years, since interactive has kind of boomed and everybody was trying to do their second generation sites. And this means we either went full A to Z, we either did the planning and built their site, or at some point we did some planning for them, we helped them update their site, we did those type of things. But we're well versed in the interactive world, and we try and keep home not only by doing sites, but by a lot of training and stuff as well. Not only selling people off site, we have a lot of subscriptions to online training, so if there's something new that comes out, Lex doesn't have to wait for the seminar. He can just go to the online training hub that we belong to, which is awesome, and just spend 3 hours one night learning the latest stuff about the WordPress plugin that we need or whatever. So, brand philosophy, I feel like remiss if I didn't talk about brand. We understand brands. We lead with brand. I always say I'm a brand guy first, a communications guy second, and an interactive guy third, because without those other two pieces, interactive really doesn't matter. So we know we have to understand your brand first. We have to understand your communication strategy first before we jump into interactive. And this is kind of how you're going to, it wouldn't surprise me if you see something very similar from the second group, because I used to work with the second group that you're going to see. And this is something that that the mantra that I believe was instilled in that agency and also instilled in our agency is that brand is important. Brand is helping consumers understand what you offer and if that offering is right for them. It's a beacon. And people need to follow. So we want to make sure that we put you in the right light, the correct light, the appropriate light, so that people can find you. Those like-minded individuals who want to be part of a community like yours can find you and land where they need to land. Our interactive development process, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Sorry.
Four-step process, real quick. And I actually broke this out in line with our original proposal. So you could kind of see how we had set it up so you can see the pieces that fall into each section and also the costs associated with those pieces. So in terms of the first step, we would do a strategic audit, research review, and plan. We take whatever information we have, it's initial project administration coordination, believe it or not, once we start a project, there's a lot of just administrative stuff we just have to take care of to make sure the right team is copied on everything, the right paperwork is in order. The planning schedule is put together. We have a pre-planning questionnaire. It's about 3 pages long. We talk about that listening. That's our first chance to really listen to you folks. And you can distribute that as broadly as you would like. We love input from all areas, all angles. And that's really our first step to move forward. And all this is going to be shown in the case study as well. So pre-planning questionnaire, we do existing research audit. We do project schedule development. We do an interactive workshop if appropriate. We've actually budgeted for one here because we think it's important to understand the separate constituencies. It's a way to bring consensus together and to hear voices at the same time. It's also helps sort out issues because a lot of times we get to a certain point and one constituency say, hey, I wasn't involved in that. That doesn't work for me. And so that interactive planning workshop tends to put people in the same room. And then we tend to try and sort it out there with the moderator trying to stand between a couple people if they need to and make some decisions there. But it's a lot less expensive to make changes at that stage when we're just talking about it than it is at the programming stage where Lex spent 8 weeks trying to set the site up. Project planning and management meetings, delivery strategic interactive marketing brief. This is the platform on which we move forward, and the cost, as you can see, the investment there is $8,000 of the budget. Website development documentation, call these blueprints, call them what you will. Before we let Lex start programming, we have to make sure the site map's developed, We present that to the group and make sure that things are approved in terms of the site map. We do persona creation, which I'll show you, it's really an audience identification tool. We have to approve, we do have to approve because we know that it's unusual for a site to serve one audience. So we budget for up to three personas. Wireframe development, what's that going to look like in very general terms? Full content outline and requirements document, if you've worked with those before, that basically says, what's going to be on every page in terms of photography, video, any type of content assets. So we know full well, before we hand that document over, like, he knows what's going on every page. And the investment there in terms of putting all that pre-planning together is an additional 12. What we're going to try and do, just so you know, the plan here is that we space this out a little bit, some of it because of your schedule, and some of it because of budget considerations. We see the $8,000 being a Q2 expense, the $12,000 possibly a Q3 expense. Part of the development budget, which I'll show you in a minute, being falling in the fourth quarter of this year. And then the remainder, we're hoping we would launch very early in 2014. The remainder would be built in 2014. So there should be a way to not only manage your time and our resources, but help manage financially if we need to spread that budget out just a little bit to make sure that we're meeting budgetary requirements as well as interactive requirements. So this is where it all happens. This is where LEC rolls up its sleeve and really does it. We do creative development at this point, so you're going to start seeing what the site really looks like. Beyond it, you will have seen tools we use to narrow in on the what the creative will look like, but you haven't seen creative yet. We do site coding, we do form development, we do photo selection, we do everything that's required to basically make that site live. And that's the longest part of the process. It's the hardest part of the process because basically you're doing a lot of testing, a lot of making sure things work. I will tell you, though, the way that we're developing sites today and a lot of things a couple years ago, that's really cut down dramatically based on the safety nets and the protocols that are in place now and the tools we're going to be using to build the site. The final deliverables, this is all stacked up into that first budget. It's really final approvals, SEO, identification, and integration, making sure that search engines are tied up and ready to go. Site map development, submission to those search engines, batching delivery files, however you want those files delivered. If we host it, we deploy everything per our protocols and practices. If we do not host it, we bundle up those files and give them to whoever you want to have them based on their specs. So we do try and help if there's a problem with getting a site, but the servers, once you're outside of your own server environment, it changes dramatically, and we'll help as much as we can, but sometimes due to how servers are set up, the software that's on there versus what's not on that type stuff, there could be problems that we might not be able to clarify without some of your technical help. It's not as simple as loading up and cutting it loose. A lot of times it is. Lex will keep speak the times when we kind of work through things and say, you know what, maybe it's this, maybe it's this, because we didn't set the server up, so we don't know. We do know that that if it comes to that, it'll work. It's just figuring out which switches the flips and turn on and off.
Right. So, I apologize, but
no, please.
What was the price point that you attached to phase one?
Phase one is
eight. I got 12, 52.
And eight. Yeah. These are a couple of tools we use. One of them is the persona development. That's a persona that we did for Smithsonian. We call them relentless researchers. What this does is it helps us kind of put a face to the demographics and the psychographics and that kind of stuff. And it really helps the designers say, okay, this is who I'm designing for. We do a little story. This guy's got a PhD. He teaches, but he loves research and he just can't help himself. And a lot of times we pull this from demographic and research profiles given to us by Smithsonian. But a lot of times creative people don't like to create to numbers or households, or they like to drive a mini. That doesn't tell them. So you persona solve, everybody can see, okay, this is, it might be a business leader, it might be a resident, it might be any type of person that, someone who may be thinking about moving a business, those personas will help us design the site creatively, as well as to help Lex just kind of check and say, you know what, is this something that might interest them or not interest them? And it's more than science. There's an art to this, and this helps us kind of do the art thing. And it puts a face to those customers. The second piece is pretty interesting.
Can I jump in?
Please.
Oh, another thing that personas really help with is the site architecture. And so when you're thinking about, like Brian said, you have a whole bunch of different audiences and trying to figure out where different pieces of the site live and how they work together, knowing who that audience is and how what kind of information they want to access, we use that a lot too. In addition to the creative.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
The other tool up here is kind of our creative theme board. It's hard early on because to show you what the web page will look like. There's too many decisions to be made. We don't want the navigation set like. We don't know how you want the action to take place. We haven't thought enough about how intuitive it should be and where the path should lead. But we do have enough to say, okay, we understand your brand, we understand your audience. Here's some creative decisions we're going to make early on. So we don't have to make these again at the stage where development's taking place. So we show this at about the same time we're showing personas to say, here's the color palette. In this case, we did this for the Yalo Valley packaging, and they're actually the case that I'm going to show you. They do a lot of wine, so we chose a color palette that not only talked about fresh products and how the containers kept it fresh, but also had a color palette that kind of reflected that whole idea of the menu and the whole idea of freshness of colors. And that actually turned out really well because our creative people were like, this is a really cool palette. It's modern, it feels good, it's sophisticated, and it works well with their brand. We then put in there some style previews of what we can kind of expect to see on the site, some graphical treatments, some text treatments. So when you see the site, you can nod your head and say, okay, I can see where they got this from, and I agree to this. So it's not like an unveiling of that homepage where you go, that's not what I thought it would look like. We're not trying to give you an idea of what it will formally look like. But there shouldn't be any surprises at that stage because you would have looked at this brand and community and said, you know what, I've agreed to all this, I like it, let's see where it goes. These are some other tools. We do the pre-plan questionnaire, we do the timeline. And I'm going to let Lex talk you through the tools we use specifically to build sites, the advantage of those tools, and why we're recommending them. And then he's going to walk you through a case study. I think we're doing a case study.
Okay. So like Brian might have said, WordPress is our preferred development platform. We have developed sites on a number of platforms, but we keep coming back to WordPress for a variety of reasons. First of all, it's free, which always makes our clients happy. And then the second biggest reason we use it is because of how easy it is to update. And I mean that both from a programming standpoint, but as well as like an end user. So when we hand a website over to our clients, they are 100% in control of all the content. They can change the menus, they can add pages, they can upload media. There's really nothing that they can't do once it's all been built. And I know that's a frustration for a lot of our clients we've done websites for. They have a site that they like very much, but they can't update the content. And websites are very much an evolving piece. You need to be able to put information on there, and you need to be able to do that easily. And WordPress, I think, is the best tool for that.
How much training do people need to do that?
We put together a little training document that's very, it's like a PDF that kind of walks you through the basics. But if you can use Microsoft Word, you can pretty much use WordPress. The page editor looks very similar. You've got your kitchen sink at the top with how to make text bold or add a picture or change the colors. There's drop-down menus. In order to update something like your navigation, it's all drag and drop. You click, I want to add this page, you drag it to where you want it, it's in place, it's linked. You need zero coding background. My mom can do WordPress. My aunt actually made a site with WordPress.
There are certain counseling companies who have done that same thing.
Okay. Yep. Yes.
A lot of times you'll end up with buttons and navigation. Can you change navigation features?
You can. So we can, it'll all kind of be part of that planning process, but if we say, all right, these are some navigation icons we're considering, we can, you know, include a bank or include a whole variety of them where you'll be able to then switch them out. They have a number of different ways of tagging it, so if you say, you know what, we want to change these ones on the left-hand side from orange to green, It's clicks. It's not adding in like a hex number or coding it in. It's all, anything we identify up front is like what we're going to want the end user, you guys, to be able to change on your own, you'll be able to change.
So anything on the page we
yep.
can change?
Yep. Okay. So if you want to change, I'd say the one things that you can't change that would get tricky are spacing of like a margin, but a lot of that comes from the structure and the layout. Once those are set, you can change things within the page, like how close together a paragraph is or where pictures sit, but the actual like edges of the page and how far it sits, that would probably be the one thing I say you can't change.
That's
but.
Fine, but any menus, any navigation
yep.
buttons
yep.
with the words on the navigation buttons and everything.
Yeah, so another feature of WordPress is called shortcodes, and what they let you do is we can design a series of buttons, and then you can select from a drop-down, I want a medium button, I want a small button, and then you actually pick your text, you pick
okay.
your link, and it's all set for you, and then it treat, you know, if it's a green button, when you hover it, it turns to orange, that's how it works. You just have to pick it. You don't have to do anything to program it yourself.
Our goal is to make you self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Okay. We're here to do this, but I don't think
yeah, we tend to have a call or two and to kind of walk through the training, and then over the next 2 weeks I might get 3 or 4 phone calls of a specific, hey, you know, I know you went over this, can you remind me of how to add a page to this menu, or how I can move the navigation from the left-hand side to the right-hand side, and I walk them through that, and then we don't hear from them. So, like I said, WordPress is free, and the reason that it's able to be free is because it has such a robust online support community. It's all open source. That allows WordPress to always be kept up to date with anything that's changing in the interactive environment. So when you when new pieces are added to HTML5, they're instantly added to what WordPress can do. It's not proprietary software, so it's not something you have to pay to update in a couple of years. If the technology is changing and now you need a new license for that software, this is always free and it's always being updated by members of the WordPress community.
But that's not say it's not incredibly secure.
Yes.
People can free and open source and think, ooh, what's that mean from the security?
You can put the exact same security certificates on a WordPress site as you could put anywhere else. You can put things behind a firewall. We put all our sites on a dedicated IP. Question?
If, go ahead.
Oh.
Thought went away for
oh, okay. jump in if I it's very flexible, and like I said, that you can customize everything yourself. And we build all of our sites with SEO in mind, and WordPress helps with that. It has a very complex series of tagging, but by complex, I mean the way it works. Tagging it is as simple as typing what you want to tag. So all your photos, all your headlines, all your links, all your pages are tagged and optimized for search. So if I'm looking for something specific and I'm just typing into Google, I'm going to actually find that page right away as opposed to having to come in through your home page and work my way through the site.
If WordPress comes out with new features and mm-hmm. we host it with you, are those features automatically loaded?
Yep. So if you host it with us, we'll make sure your latest version of WordPress is always up to date. If there's plugins and that sort of thing, we'll actually include it in the training of how to use them. But if you can always come to us and say, hey, there's this plugin. Can you help us make sure it's working right? Or can you help us set it up on this series of pages, or we want to change the plugin for whatever reason, we're always there to help do that.
Just so you know, I didn't put in this proposal, but our hosting is the first year free and it's $20 a month.
Yeah, it's not a...
We don't do it as a profit center, we do it as a service.
Right. And so then all that really means is anytime there's an issue with the hosting, we're the ones taking care of it. You don't have to get on the phone with an IT guy, and I'd say there's 99.9% uptime. It's, you know, the only times you've ever run into an issue is because I made a little mistake and had to get on the phone and say, hey, your website might be down on Friday for an hour, but
I'm going to
end up.
Made the same mistake.
Yeah, I did, but it was a rough day, but yeah, we got through it. And I don't know if anyone knows or heard a lot about WordPress, but it started as a blogging platform, and I think for a while it had a reputation as only being a blogging platform. But recently, a lot of larger sites have started using it because at its core, it's really a database, and the way it lets people upload information and multiple users add information to different sections of the site, it actually can become a very powerful tool, and CNN, Ford, Sony, and ESPN have all recently done their websites on a WordPress platform. With so many different things going on a website like City of Sylvania's, WordPress would let you have different users who have different access. So one person can log in, they can really only update a section that you designate. They can't go in and change the menus, but they can add content to a series of pages. And you can control all of that. Or you can give everybody who needs to access or log in the same access. It's really customizable like that. You can control who has access to which area. Any other questions?
Yeah, and if you want to give, does that sign to everybody from the departments, and that you understand that that would give you access to make the changes you need to?
All right.
Again, that's one of the reasons we brought 12 on it. We know it's important.
Yeah. So another piece that we want to talk about is responsive design. Responsive design is very much a new thing that has been developed probably in the last year, really. But what it does is it lets you have a single site that you build and a single site that you are updating, but it is completely compatible on all of your devices. It's compatible on a desktop, a laptop, a tablet, a mobile device. And what it allows sites to do is actually change their layout. But it lets you as an end user only have to update in one place. So you're only managing one site, but that site is completely, I don't even want to say mobile compatible, because it really is a mobile site at that point. The content is organized differently, but it's all of your content. You're not having to select, we need to change out the pictures because that doesn't work on mobile. We need to pare down the content so that that's more easily accessible for mobile. All of your content that you see online from a computer is the same content that you see and can access from your phone.
A lot of the knocks on mobile sites are they skinny down the content to the point that it's not really that helpful. We design sites knowing that they're going to be accessed on mobile devices, making some decisions that are going to help that. But you don't need to skinny down the content to the point that people like help us look at it at home. This will be a fully usable functional site.
And it's very different. A mobile site is very different than a mobile app. An app serves a specific purpose. It's for something that actually lives on your phone. But responsive design can completely replace a mobile site. The definition from Wikipedia is up there. Mashable called 2013, actually the year of responsive design. I won't read this to you, but
it,
that's true. I missed a couple words there. But there's really a lot of strong opinions starting to come out where, and it's really backed by Forbes and Google, and they're saying a mobile site isn't good enough, and that is because you can't put all of that content there, or if you do, it's because you're having to manage it in two different places, and updating a website can be a full-time chore. You have evolving content, and you absolutely don't want to have to be doing that in multiple places, or wondering how that's going to work on a mobile platform, as opposed to using a single platform with responsive design incorporated.
So if I go on my iPhone, I go into Safari or whatever, and it'll show up in a different format. Like I work, I think that's
so. Yeah, we're gonna. So the way that responsive design works, it uses, So Diablo Valley, we'll go through a case study and then we'll show you a responsive site where we can actually show you how the site changes. So they needed a more branded, a friendlier site for their clients to come to. They're a bottle distributor out in California. A lot of the people coming onto the site, they really know what type of bottles they're looking for. I'm looking for wine, I'm looking for beer bottles. They're not really there to like poke around. They know it and they want to get straight to their pages. So we had that in mind. We also knew that a lot of these people and their sales rep are out on the road, and their sales force wants to be able to hop on their phone, hop on their tablet, and show a customer a new bottle that might fit their need, or show them a new closure for whatever product they're buying. That was when we kind of started introducing responsive design, because it was the first time that it had really been something that was starting to be embraced all around. And so we built the site. It was completely responsive. It had great feedback from their entire sales team.
I just want to give you enough time to walk through. So I don't, okay. The next two slides are just to kind of show you the prior process. We've already talked about some of the tools. Go ahead and put the tool over one.
Okay.
The pre-planning tools we used, we already talked about some of those. We did questionnaires. We did executive leadership interviews. We looked at brand positioning briefs, right to the forward. We did the theme board, which I already showed you previously, so people can understand what they were going to see. And hopefully what you're going to see here is you're going to see elements of this in the real site, but not exactly this in the real site. But there were no surprises.
The feel is very similar.
We did creative brief, and you can see the mandatories on the right, custom look, fast search capabilities. The one at the bottom, mobile, tablet-friendly site, is one of the reasons we leaned on this, and the same reason we're going to show it to you today. And so if you click on that, that's a good thing.
Yeah, all right.
Sorry.
I'm giving it away. Yeah. So this was the site we ended up developing for them. You can probably see similar elements, like Brian said, to what we put together on that theme board. It has a similar feel, but obviously now it's gone from, on a page, kind of some of the elements to a full website. We put all of their products in a very easy to get to searchable menu. So if you go to wine, you get a variety of the wine products. You can always search, and so you can sort by weight, you can sort by SKU number. There are drop downs over here to quickly go and find the different categories that you're looking for. You can change this list view so that you can actually get the product specs right here, as opposed to just seeing a layout of the bottles. So where the responsive design piece comes in, if you have a phone, you can pull it up on your phone. It's dvpackaging.com, but I can also show you here. The way that responsive design works is it uses, basically it gets information from your browser and it knows how big your browser is. So you can see when we start at a full width, we're showing three bottles all across, but as we start to come in, it actually bumps it down. We don't lose any of that content. It's now just stacking everything into two columns. The picture at the top will shrink. The menu right here, and move it away from the grid. The menu there at the top collapses so that it's an easier to use menu if you're on your phone, because those links don't all fit. And this is all done automatically. So if you go in and you're adding a new product, it gets added to this grid, and the grid can respond appropriately depending on what device you're looking at it on. So I'll just keep going. So this would probably be about a tablet, you might see two. And when you actually get down to a mobile device, you can see everything in a single column. But again, you still have a drop-down menu here. You still have all of your products. You actually have the same navigation that was on that right-hand side. It just drops to the bottom here. You don't lose any of the content, despite.
Up to the home page, just so you can give them another example of how it scales.
Yep.
I think it's important to understand.
Very cool.
Yeah, so this is the home page.
Do you have an iPhone?
Yeah, yeah. And those are the... We'll stay close to that.
And pretty user-friendly on the phone.
Yeah, so it's very vertical.
Pretty right? Clean.
And yeah, great.
Not
doesn't
come across clutter. That's what we were designed for.
Yeah.
So you can see that looking at this too, everything once again scales.
Yeah. And I mean, this is really why people are building new websites, because you absolutely need everyone's from your site to be able to get to it from any device, like on at home or on at the mall, and whatever I'm using, I need to be able to see all of your content, I need to be able to access everything easily. Any questions?
So, if we were to incorporate this on our site, any one of the department pages, and to go on with an iPhone, that would be
correct. So, so everything that you're updating and adding as far as pages, if you're adding pages to the menus or the navigation, all of that is reflected the exact same. You're literally seeing the same site.
So even if I want to go pay my water bill or something, I still show that.
Yep. So it scales. So if you have your water bill, you know, the form might be laid out pretty horizontally online, but then if you're using a computer, and then if you go to it from your tablet or your mobile device, it's going to be a lot more vertical, similar to how these things are doing. All it does is kind of restructure the same content, and we pick what that structure is. So we can pick, you know, does that menu go to the top or to the bottom? How is that handled?
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
From
we've got someone who's been developing sites since 94.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I have a question.
Yes.
If we have a separate site, is it possible on different drop-down menus to have audio, different audio background? We have a historical village.
Okay.
And if you go to, like, the schoolhouse,
yep.
Can you have like a background of maybe kids talking?
Yeah, so you're saying if you're laying on that page, you have audio that starts playing when you get to that page?
Right.
Yep, absolutely. So you can have, we can include, you know, a little button at the top for someone to change the volume or silence it, but we can have it auto start.
So just to follow that, do you have a list of extensions that WordPress follows, like file extensions? Or does it pretty much do all the Adobe and all the...
I don't know of any extensions that it doesn't.
That it doesn't,
yeah.
Okay. So any of these audio files, like WMP or JPEG?
Like that.
That'd be a shorter list.
Yeah. And all that.
Can we have that today?
Yeah, we passed that list out. But yeah, all those file extensions work.
Okay.
You can absolutely... And something like the audio would, again, be one of those things that you'd be able to update on your own if you said, we don't want it there, or we want to change out the audio that's playing. That's something you can do. That's not something you need a developer to do.
Let's do this in the interest of time.
Okay.
Let's get us through this case study, and then I'd like to have the members of council or staff have more questions. We can do that, then they come back.
The point of this was just to really show you the process and the responsive design, because I really think regardless of the firm you go with, it's important that you understand the difference between responsive design and building a mobile site and managing those two sites. And also the importance of it can be hard. Mobile sites don't read as well with SEO. They don't read as well with a lot of different things. So this takes care of that as well. This is, I guess, like I said, you haven't been doing this for a long time. This is a really dynamic evolution of the website development. That's why National said it's 2013 is going to get unbelievable for a year for response, because there's nothing out there that comes close in my opinion.
And Brian brought up a good point with SEO. If you have a mobile site that's separate from your site, instead of using responsive design, you're now being tracked in Google in two different places, and that's going to actually end up hurting your rank. If you have two sites, they're not competing against each other directly, because Google knows if you're accessing from your mobile device, if you're accessing online. But from just a pure ranking standpoint, you now have half the hits if you have half the people coming, and so where you're going to turn up, where people are linking to. If I'm, you know, trying to set up a link to your site, and do I set it to the mobile site or do I set it to the full site? And if the mobile content is, you know, different and I have a link to your mobile site, maybe I'm not going to link to the right place. There's a lot more that goes into it, and really a lot of errors can be doing.
I think the only reason you wouldn't use responsive is if you had a highly technical, sophisticated offer that you couldn't necessarily get there without a user. So I haven't come across many instances of that. And a lot of times those are being replaced with apps. So
Can we take a time out and see if folks have...
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Anything from members of council at this point?
I have one question on the development. I'm assuming that you'll put together some kind of a timeline.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, by working with the administration and everything. Typically, how long will the changeover take?
So, you mean like once the development is complete and going from the old site to the new site? Probably around 48 hours. During that time, the site's not down. It's just, we're putting everything in place on the back end, and then we click the button, and it's a matter of servers propagating, and so you might see the site an hour before, the new site an hour before somebody else, but you'll always see one site or the other. You won't have downtime on the site. Does that answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
One thing I noticed in your proposal, it covered 120 pages. In our site, if you add all three of them, there are like 200. Does that take into consideration of paring down some of the sites, or were additional pages going to be more money?
I think that we've spent a fair amount of time on your site. I think we've kind of already started thinking about how it would be structured. I think we would have a target of 120, and if it's 130, we're going to put all those pages on there, and we're not going to stop it. But I think we could come up with a very user-friendly, intuitive navigation structure that puts all the pages and all the pieces in place for that. That was what we were anticipating the full site being. If the full site ends up being 100 or 150, we're gonna get it done.
Once we're at 120, doing 150 is populating pages.
Right.
There's no program. So we would cover off, if it gives me 200, then you probably get into a little heavier hours. But I think pushing shell, we work with and make sure the actual change.
Yeah. It's not gonna be a half-built site, if that's what you're...
No.
Yeah.
No, it'll be completely built when we go live.
Kind of a simplistic question, I think,
okay.
But I need to ask it. We're talking about actually designing a new site, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
We have a site that we like, you know?
Yep.
It's, we think, probably better looking and better functioning than most of our other municipal city sites around, you know?
Uh-huh.
But are we going to be, talk about that? I mean, we just feel that what we want to accomplish requires a new site and therefore a new look and so on.
I don't think we ever saw this as a migration. We're not picking up your existing look and building it on a new responsive platform. We could, but I don't think that's what you want. I think you want a refreshed look, something... but like Brian said, when we put together those personas and that theme board, we really are trying to identify what that look is, and it's a look that you guys like. It keeps a lot of your brand front and central. You don't want people to come to the site and think, oh my gosh, what, like, am I in the right place? We want it to be very recognizable as this is City of Sylvania's website, and it looks like everything that you have.
Right. Okay. So from that standpoint, mm-hmm. we almost have at least two separate purposes, right? I mean, we need to serve our citizens
mm-hmm.
and folks that we want to be our citizens. So that's families and visitors and so on. And we're in that category, ranges from, you know, picking up the trash to public safety, right? If I'm out of town, I want these guys to drive by my house 4 times a day or whatever. To sort of basic city services, to mm-hmm. the things like the historical village, which are tourist attractions, right?
Yep.
Separate from that, and I'm speaking not with Bill Sanford, who had to leave, is the economic development piece, right? We want people to understand that Sylvania's a good place to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
Are those conflict? I mean, is that a problem to design it kind of in that schizoid way?
I don't think it's conflict. It becomes our challenge, is how do we create a site that is organized in such a way that, like you said, you have a variety of audiences, and all of those audiences need to be able to use the site and want to use the site. I think the Smithsonian planning that we did is pretty similar. They had, an audience of children and school teachers who come on there and they do activities, and then you have people who are really just like passionate researchers and they want to be a part of the Smithsonian community, and then you have higher end academics, and they you can't have a site that is, you know, all only for kids, but also for a professor at Yale who needs, you know, a contact at Smithsonian. So meeting that challenge is something we would plan through.
That's doable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think the point is to make sure that it comes down to critical paradox and choice, the book. It comes down to making sure that we make those choices easier for people when they get online. People think people want a lot of choices, they don't. People want to help them decide. I don't need to go to Best Buy to look at 30 TVs. I need to look at 4. So we need to help people make those choices, make those correct choices. So you speak to those audiences front and center, bam, 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 and you help them get to where they need to go on site. That's called intuitive design, and it's certainly something that every design firm should be doing today.
That's one problem I've seen with a present site. We tried to make it work for however people searched.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we may have confused a lot of people because there's so many different ways to get to the same information. Okay. So is there kind of a right way for people to search? I mean, so we can...
I don't think there's a magic formula for it, because like you said, some people hit a site and they want to use the search bar right away. Some people want the top, you know, navigation menus. Other people are looking for information on the homepage. And I think we like to build our sites so that no matter which way you like to search, you're finding that information the same way. We make sure it's organized enough where it's not, you know, cluttered. You're not just like lost on the page, but kind of identifying buckets of audiences and then giving them a couple of clear paths to get to the same information.
The other thing we've done some of recently is a lot of sites are very linear, and it's a click path. And we're going with kind of what we call one big click, which gets you to kind of a slope, a new landing page flow that's built to help you facilitate those decisions. So if you're a researcher at the Smithsonian, your first click takes you to kind of that your zone. So if you're all of a sudden feeling really good about where you're at, if you're a kid with a parent, you're over here, and the content is right for you. So it's not so linear. It's a little more of a dimensional feel to the site because we don't want to just take you to there. We want to make the destination as pleasing, as comfortable, as intuitive as possible. So what we're finding is how people are searching is that they don't like linear sites anymore. They like sites with a little more dimension that help them get the information they need almost in a very easy way instead of in a, like a pick your way through it. So it's hard to explain. We can try to be helpful. I think that's a lot of time here. But then it's a much more intuitive way to bring content forward beyond search.
So the guy's looking for economic development. He doesn't have to click through 14 menus to find out, no, this is not where I want to be and I got to start over. He can find that from the first page and kind of open up that zone and say, okay, mm-hmm. That's where I want to
be. That would be the goal. Again, we're early on in the process here. We look at some stuff. Doing our due diligence before we came in here, but we don't see a reason why we couldn't meet the needs of those constituencies very well, not just in the mobile platform, but in the overall offering that City of Southern brings forward.
And that's where research goes in. We'll spend a lot of time on Google Analytics and try to understand where people are looking for information, what they're finding, what they're not finding, and use that when we're coming up with the site architecture.
Katie, any questions?
So people come on the website and they have a specific purpose they're looking for when they're recycle pickup. Mm-hmm. But what if you want them to see something they'll be excited about that they weren't looking for? Like, they're, oh, my recycle's picking up next week, but hey, there's a film festival this weekend. there's like kind of like Yahoo News. Like you pull it up and then there's those little teaser lines and you go, wow. And then all of a sudden you're... Well, you and so Sylvania's on sale and you want to be able to say, hey, look, there's fun things going on this weekend. Look at the summer schedule. Well, I was just looking for my recycle schedule, but look at all this other like cool stuff that without confusing them. So you could look, but you don't have to.
So that could be the kind of thing where we'd obviously work with you to identify like, what are the things that people who are not coming or who are coming for a specific purpose that you want them to find, and we can plan ways to include that. So whether it's, you know, right-hand side menus or like you said, even a banner across the bottom, there'd be things that you could decide, like this lives across the site universally, or this lives only in this section, and then with WordPress to be easy to update every time or for different places?
You have featured sliders, remember the big slider across the top of the Diablo site? You can have that on homepage, you can have that on your feed, you can have that on your landing zones, if you will.
Yeah.
You can go featured content into the site as long as you're willing to update it.
So, for example, so we have like a few other agencies in Sylvania, like the Arts Commission and the Downtown Sylvania Association, and we're not doing their website. They have their own little website, and they're probably not going to be nearly as wonderful as ours. But they have great events, and they want to, like, they send, the Arts Commission sends Laura something. Oh, there's a film festival this weekend, mm-hmm. and their website is iffy, and I don't want her to have to spend 2 hours trying to take their stuff. I want her to go, oh, look, yeah, we can put this on, and bam, it's on there in a few minutes, not...
So that'd be all kind of stuff we would want. We'd learn in like the discovery phase, but we'd, you know, build that piece of the site with that in mind to say, okay, we want a featured area for events that are going on, and, you know, whether that's a book. The design works in a very easy way where it's the kind of thing where if you have a picture to put there, it's going to wrap the text around the picture. If you remove the picture, the text is just going to go back to spin, and you're not left with like a big empty slate. So it'd be the kind of thing that we build in a block for it, and whenever you're using that block, that's going to show up, and wherever you're not, it just looks like an ordinary page. So you could turn it on and off at, you know, the appropriate times, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got the I don't know if this is the right term, but the platforms you use to mm-hmm. create the site.
Yes.
As technology changes on those platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Do you automatically update the sites with the new technology?
We do. So installing new versions of WordPress is something that we would do as part of hosting. And I don't know, we've probably gone through 10 or 15, you know, like 13.1, 13.12, and it keeps going. But we make sure all of those are up to date, and every time they're updated, you're not losing any of your content, you're not losing anything, but you are gaining new features along the way. That's how responsible design was able to be incorporated so quickly into WordPress. So now as soon as you start building with WordPress, responsive design is there whether you want it or not. You don't have to utilize it, but why wouldn't you?
Yes. As a community whose budgets, along with many other municipalities, is going down,
uh-huh.
We've talked a lot about shared services. And I think Katie just kind of brought this to my mind, is there the other group, the Sylvania Historical Village and the Arts Commission, and that mm-hmm. you know, if they have their own sites, wouldn't it or would it be mm-hmm. a good idea for their sites to be on our sites and part of this whole deal? I don't know, they would have to obviously
yeah.
agree to it, but then they would go, there would be a link, mm-hmm. maybe a way to link.
So I think you could handle it a couple different ways, and we'd probably want to spend time kind of looking into how people are using those sites, but it could either be the kind of thing where it is living underneath the City of Sylvania site, but it could have its own complete look. It'd really be, it has the same URL, but you can have a whole section of the site that has a different feel, a different look to represent their brand. Or we might find that, no, we want it to live separately, but we could, then you'd have to just be linking to it. It's hard to answer without knowing exactly how people use those sites together.
If you wanted to come up with some kind of program, we would work with you to come up with an offering to make it easy for them to mm-hmm. migrate to WordPress on your platform if they want to do that. We can work with you to make sure that once the platform is built, it becomes very efficient. It's almost like folding pages. It's also not dramatic needs, but it sounds like their needs are really just communicative in terms of making sure messages getting out, people understand what's going on in the community, what the specific offering of those organizations is. It's not some complex coded thing. We've come up with a program to layer people on their organizations on at an economical way.
Okay, let's see if anybody here from the department has any questions. Police, you guys okay?
No, not at this point.
No. You got anything right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Service department, Jeff?
Yeah. Ours would be more once we're past the RFP process on how the actual site's going to function and where everything that's.
there's a lot of good possibilities, you know, we could go to the start of the
The forms that you mentioned, what type of forms have you done and do you anticipate us using?
So like you said, something like a water bill, that kind of form we could include if it's something like sign up for, if you have newsletters or registering for events, really any kind of forms that you want to develop. There's a number of different plugins that we would utilize so that you can create new forms. We would set up the site with any forms that are on the existing one or we determine that you need, but then going forward, you'd be able to create forms. You can pick, you know, is this information captured in an email and sent to a number of people, or is this information captured in a place where I go and access it online? The forms can work either way.
Could it kick off a workflow type thing? So we fill out a form to answer an RFP for a new street. Can it then, they can attach documents to a form and then connect it, then work with an external workflow that we would develop?
Yeah, so we could set up with the form, you know, you fill out your information that's required, and then there's also a place for them to upload a document, and that gets tagged along with the information that they put. And then who that goes to or where that then sits is up to you. Yeah, it could be sent to someone or could be set up in a place where everyone knows they can log in. And maybe you just get a notification that, hey, there's a new one there and you can go and view it.
I'm talking about, like, membership.
So if there's a possibility, like, for the water bill, would there be a possibility to, if someone wanted to become a member of the historical village, a place where, you know, they could pay by PayPal or credit card or
PayPal
like
or authorize on any of the big...
We've done pay things for everything from fines to...
Donations.
One more really quick question. Now that we're talking about forms and paying, are we talking about doing online taxes too?
Online.
Taxes, paying your taxes online? Just,
probably
I mean, I don't know if that's a question for you guys.
Tax.
Or,
yeah.
I
would say, Christy.
We have that available online through official payments, and we use that because there's no cost to the city, the fee is passed on to the taxpayer. And that is available through our website, it's only to official payments.
I don't think we figured that out, but that's good.
One other question that we had talked about in a previous set of meetings, and that is the city's Facebook page, right? Or we have a Facebook page. How should we think about making what we're doing with the website somehow integrated or compatible with Facebook presence? I like Facebook in a way because it's kind of a more push strategy, right? You do a posting, like, it's in the hands of people that need to see it. Are those two separate conversations, or can you help us with that?
No, we haven't. I think we really look at things as purposeful. So one of the things that we help us in some of the videos was the purpose of finding social engagement. So they have a Twitter strategy, Facebook strategy, YouTube strategy based on the reason. Okay, this is going to give you reach, so make sure you're ready. This is going to be for loyalty, so make sure it does it. So we need to look at your Facebook strategy. Just make sure they're in there. So you're ready to formulate it.
And then as far as what I'm thinking of is Laura wants to post an announcement about the fact that the Memorial Day parade is coming or something. How easy or difficult would it be for her then to create that as a Facebook posting?
So you're saying you want to make like
the same content over two separate?
You could put something from Facebook. If you add like a post on Facebook, we could include a place for like a Facebook feed on the site. There's not really a way to say if I'm updating the site that gets planted into Facebook. Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
So we do that now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Like you know, there you'll see lots of sites that either have like a Twitter feed or a Facebook feed, you know, and it can, you know, kind of live somewhere on the site so that if I am just going to the website, I can have that opportunity to engage on Facebook or go like you or see your latest posts.
Can we take 3-5 minutes, Brian, to kind of wrap up? Is that we at that point?
Yeah.
Do you have any summation or final?
You could do. I mean, the bottom line is these are just a couple of examples real quick. Two things. One is that we're coming at it from an interactive perspective. Like I said earlier, we're coming at it from a brand and a communications perspective first. We love what this tool can do today. And we're recommending it every chance we get because we're seeing people really it really adds value to what we bring. But what we really bring is the thinking behind it and the brand awareness and communications awareness to make sure that as we're building these sites, we're taking care of your communities. We're empathetic. We're listeners. We get it. We're parents and workers, and we know what we need from those types of sites as well. And we don't cast that aside when it comes like how it comes time to go to work. We bring that with us. And so when Lex is looking at things that we can help parents be more aware of when schools are closed, or should be, is there a better alert system or whatever, we're thinking at it from parent perspective as well as development perspective, because those are tools we all need and enjoy, and we want to make it as easy as possible. So think about us as an interactive firm, but think about us as communication partners and brand strategists and people that really just want to help you meet the needs of your community through your interactive offering. So thank you so much for allowing us to come and talk to you today. It's stuff we enjoy talking about. And I got to tell you, there's a feeling that Sylvania, the city of Sylvania, is kind of still a gem of Northwest Ohio. We would love to help you put that out there.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
While they're moving their show out of town, let me just ask the committee members, we have this presentation, then we have the next one. How do we want to proceed as far as making a recommendation to council? Do we want to kind of cogitate on this a little bit and then get back together at a separate time to be able to do that? Do you want to try to have some discussion today? Mike, what do you think?
I also have to look at long-term costs, and it's a little hard to come up with a number here. I want to get with them to find out what ongoing maintenance costs versus we host or they host it, which I don't really want to host it. Is there retainers involved? Is it just, if it is a break fix, if we have trouble, you know, that sort of thing. So I wouldn't want to make a decision today, but give me a few.
Well, let's do this then. This is one more meeting, but of all the committees, you know, we all are pretty accessible, right, to be able to come together. So maybe do your thing. We maybe need to thank you guys.
Thank you.
We need to think a little bit about questions that we might have that we could funnel to Mike.
That would be perfect.
And then we would maybe set a time and meet, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks out, and have a kind of a meat and potatoes discussion about what we want to recommend. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And that allows us today, I think, to just absorb the input and think about it.
But the main reason they were here was that interactive and that responsive
design. That's why we got
responsive design.
That put them pretty high on my list because of that feature.
Well, I think what we're going to do is maybe take a recess for 10 minutes. You can turn the tape off, and we'll take a little break.
Are there people waiting out there?
I don't know. Are they?
I don't know. Okay, to make them work.
I see.
We need to stand up here so you can hear us.
Yeah. We're back in session. This is the April 25th meeting, April 25th, 2013 meeting of the City Council Employee and Community Relations Committee. We've taken a break. After our first presentation, this is the second group to talk a little bit about the City of Sylvania website. Folks from Mike. And Mike Hart is here along with his team. So Mike, I'm just going to let you introduce them and get us going.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Happy to be here today. Thanks for having us. And King Bianchi, my name is Mike Hart, president, and was here, I think it was 6 years ago when we last talked to you. Behind me is Mark Monge, who you're going to hear a little bit from. Mark's our VP of Interactive. John Pratt, who's our Senior Interactive Developer, and Todd Yerman, who's our VP of Business Development. Todd and I are going to kind of tag team the proposal, most of the pieces. Mark's going to take you through something that you didn't ask us to do, but we've actually developed some designs, just some thoughts to show you where we might take the website if you move forward, next step. And John has a pretty thorough knowledge of your website. As we worked with you over the years with Mike on keeping it up to speed, so here for any tough technical questions. I would be the last guy you'd want to ask the technical questions. These three gentlemen would be the first three. And we're happy to be here. Here's what we hope to accomplish today. Talk to you a little bit about the challenge you put in front of us. Obviously, you sent out an RFP that was very well thought through. Our qualifications, our approach, we're going to talk to you about how we would redesign it if we're fortunate enough to be chosen, and certainly in any client we're working with, public or private entity, costs are always important, how long it's going to take. We've provided that to you in writing, but we'll update it with a little bit more detail. So as it relates to your challenge, obviously that cityofsylvania.com looks familiar to you. From our point of view, 6+ years ago that you guys set out to do this, we know it was a daunting project. It wasn't inexpensive, but 6 years in web time is 15 years in brochure time. It's old, it's tired, it needs a refresh. Technology has changed dramatically in that time period. It's not real mobile friendly. Many of us carry these crazy things around. They drive us crazy, but Todd's going to talk a little bit more about it. I think 20%+ of the people that go to websites today and go to your website are accessing it via mobile, and it's not mobile friendly. So I think we need to get it up to date so it's more user friendly for you and for your customers. We certainly recognize as a body of city council in any community that you have to be fiduciary responsibility. I understand that being a small businessman as well. Budgets are important. So I think one of the things that we tried to do was phase this out. It's still expensive to do web. It's expensive to do any marketing initiative. So we tried to do it in chunks, try to eat this elephant one bite at a time, and try to give you the option to do it over multiple phases. So you could do all of these things together, or you could do them individually over months, or frankly over years, and make it more affordable for the city of Savannah. A little bit about us, and every agency's got to come forward and brag a little bit about what they're good at and tell you why we think we make it make a better choice. And certainly we know that you brought forward another fine firm in RP. Martha Vetta runs a great shop. I know Brian Tipping is who's leading that charge, who used to work for us. I have a great deal of respect for Martha and for Brian. They're great people, and you've got a great competitor that you brought forward and think the world about why we might be different or maybe a better choice. As it relates to our in-house capabilities, and we've got a well-respected competitor of mine sitting to my right who I think the world of him and knows a lot about us. Obviously, you're focused on one bullet in interactive, but I don't think there's anybody in our region that does all these things under one roof. And frankly, there's not too many people that do all these things as well as interactive. We do the front end, we do the back end, we do all the development in our shop, and I think it's very important to have an agency that understands the whole marketing arena, but also is able to do everything we're going to do for you and do it under our roof. These guys, as well as a team of about 7 other people, are going to do every step of every phase that we do for the city of Savannah if we're fortunate enough to get chosen for you again within the walls of HART, and we're very pleased and proud of that. We've done some work for folks like you. You're going to see some communities, you're going to see some municipalities, and you're going to see some large clients as well. We've done some work for the city of Toledo, for Sandusky County, for Fulton County. We've done some work for governmental entities like TARDA and Imagination Station. We've done work for the RGP, and we've done work for some big web clients like Lazy Boy, Dana, and ProMedica. So we've built little websites, we've built big websites, and we've done work with governmental and regional entities like yours. So we get it, we understand, we walked a mile in your moccasins, and we think that's important as well. And last but not least is the point I want to make to you. All the people that worked on your website in developing it, including Todd Coleman, our lead developer, who is quiet as a church mouse but is as smart as a whip, are still with us and who developed the Savannah website when we started way back when. So all the developers that helped build your site originally are still on our staff, have an intimate knowledge of your staff, as well as a lot of these other fun people that you see when you walk through our door at our office every day. So some people come and go in our organization like they do your fine city, but we're very proud that all the development people that, including Mark Polinich, our senior vice president who led the branding initiative, who talked to all the folks in your community when we originally kicked this off, is also on our staff. So we think we can hit the ground running if we're fortunate enough to be selected. One other thing that we thought you might find interesting is giving you a little bit of a perspective on what other communities are going to do. So Mark Mongey is going to step up here and talk to you about some interesting perspective on what communities and governmental entities are doing in your space, kind of a best of breed approach, and thought it might be interesting. Appreciate being here. Love to have the chance to work for you. And now we're going to talk to you a little bit about the task at hand. Thank you. Mark.
Thank you. So I'm Mark Mongey. Great to be here today with you. Going to go through a couple of important points behind usability, user experience, and some trends that you might have observed as you see media on the internet on mobile devices and why they're important, especially to your city right now. And number one in usability and user experience is what we call task-focused design. So what do your main user funnels expect when they come to your site? What is the average user experiencing? And almost everyone who comes with a purpose is about to achieve a task. And here's an example of a city website. This is Provo, Utah, which has just been selected for Google Fiber. They're one of the most digital cities in the nation. And this is their landing page for their website, just to show you what some cities around the nation are doing to make it a task-based experience. And so up in the top right, you know, what do I want to do? And there's the most popular activities, most sought-after activities for the average user. This is a state of Indiana government website, allowing people to engage with the primary tasks and especially to jump right into search to, in you know, one click and a couple of keystrokes, find exactly what they're looking for. Second principle is responsive design. Designing a website that can scale and adapt to multiple devices. This is a growing trend. All the leading corporations, government entities are doing this. This is an example of a mobile website. This is Wellington, New Zealand, designed for mobile first, really. Simplistic mobile experience, which is fully scalable on the website experience. And so the experience is very similar across devices, and the website and mobile site are working off the same data, same design, and scaling to fit those devices. Another growing trend is vertical scrolling. The mobile industry has accelerated people's experience of staying on a same page and swiping up and down. And we see this with the Milwaukee Police website. Great site showing how you can keep people engaged with your primary content, news and information, all on one scrollable page and not have to leave that single page experience. Another growing trend is flat design, taking the busyness out of the website. These are just samples showing some of the trends we see out there with apps and web interfaces that we engage with every day. Keeping it clean, keeping the icon simple, examples from Google of how to keep the design minimalistic, just the key information, and taking the clutter out of the interface. And finally, it's important to engage with users. When people come to your site, you immediately want to get them engaging in activity. Even if they're just searching for information, you want to make that a two-way experience. This is just an example from our central government, Congress using engagement right there on the homepage so that users can start tracking their information and interacting in a two-way process with their elected officials. And that ends that piece of it.
My turn. Thank you, sir. All right, now we'll kind of, you know, roll up our sleeves and you know, talk about the matter at hand, you know, our approach to rebuilding the website and how that process will work. You know, we've been at this for, I guess I would say probably several months at this point, you know, thinking about your specific challenge, and how we'll approach this, how we'll approach the redesign of the website. You know, we John, I think the bidders meeting, you know, a few months ago, looking to listen to a lot of great concerns, listen to a lot of needs and wants, certainly all valid from several different stakeholders within the city. Mike talked to you a few times as well to get some perspective. And we certainly heard a lot of, as I said, very valid needs and wants, things that need to be addressed in the library design.
Another thing that the gentleman that we heard as we talked with all of you were a few concerns that came up, timing. And so we wanted to make sure that when we executed this redesign, we not only address all the needs at once, but we also need to put together an approach that addresses some of these concerns as well. And a few of the things that we heard was, you know, one, you know, hey, we've invested, we being you, invested a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort in this website. And we certainly just don't want to throw away everything that we've done and start over. So we certainly know that we need to be cognizant of that. We also understand, as Mike said, that everybody up here has a fiduciary responsibility for the city of Sylvania. We understand that the city of Sylvania is financially healthy, but, you know, that doesn't negate the fact that we need to be budget conscious, that there could be budget shortfalls in coming years. So we need to put this together in an approach that allows you to be flexible in how you execute the solution. And finally, you know, we need to embed a mechanism for long-term measurement so that, you know, not only do we have a great website that conveys a lot of information, but this needs to be something that we can, over time, mold into a business development engine. So we need to infuse this website with the measurement tools that allow us to track things like return on investment so we can see that this is paying off for you long term down the road. So as we present the solution and walk you through the process, I hope you'll see that we've tried to kind of address some of these concerns as we go. One of the key ways in which we attempted to address one of your major concerns, which is the budget issue, was by prioritizing the work that you outlined in your original RFP, your original scope of work. We tried to prioritize some of those efforts by impact. And essentially what we've done here is we've kind of subscribed to the good of the many outweighs the good of the few philosophy. So we've tried to look at the needs and wants for your website in terms of how many people will they affect. And we kind of put them in order, starting with the primary website. So this is cityofsylvania.com. This is the main site that people come into to get all of the generalized information about the city. Then we suggest that we follow it up with a mobile version of that website. Now, obviously, in real life, you guys are our favorite, but in terms of web world and where your traffic goes to, we're going to suggest that you put court and police just after mobile. And then we have a fourth phase of this design, which we'll talk a little bit more about as we get into it, but that's addressing some niche needs for individual stakeholders within the city of Sylvania. We'll talk a little bit more about those. So over the next couple of slides, I kind of want to talk you through the process of how this will actually work in process in practice. How we'll go about the process of redesigning your website. And we kind of want to look at this through the lens of what it will be like to work with us, what you'll experience kind of on a day-to-day basis, what the interaction, the back and forth will be like. So you can not only see what we're trying to do here phase by phase, but what the experience will be like. So we'll start off with phase one. Seems like a good place to start. And that's the redesign of the cityofsylvania.com. And essentially what our goal here, what our goal with this phase is to redesign cityofsylvania.com to make it a information hub where not only the citizens, but also the economic development, business development, site selector crowd can come, the media, the general public, and so on. An information hub where these individuals can come to find accurate information about the city of Sylvania. And the way we begin this process is through what we call a discovery session. Essentially, what we're doing in discovery is creating a blueprint for success. This blueprint is going to inform all aspects of the entire web redesign project from beginning to end. After all, if we don't know where we're going, we're probably going to end up somewhere else. So we want to make sure we don't want to make that mistake. We'll start this off with a kickoff meeting. This is an in-person meeting with the key stakeholders from the City of Sylvania web team, along with some of our senior strategists and our core web guys. And essentially, we all sit in a room together and we talk through wants, needs, specific deliverables. We'll take a look at your current IT, your technological platform. We'll talk through your content. We'll talk about the City of Sylvania has a brand document that tries to capture kind of the essence of what it is to live and work in the city of Sylvania. We'll talk through that to make sure that we have a full understanding of all of these things. And then finally, we'll outline what we call some victory conditions, which are essentially, you know, metrics and ways that we can measure ourselves by so that we know that, you know, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, that we've delivered on what you set out to do. So we'll talk about goals. We'll talk about objectives and that sort of thing. So at the end of this discovery session, essentially what we'll have is a series of creative and strategic briefs that will guide the rest of this project. And we'll have our victory conditions, which are goals, well-defined goals, objectives, key performance indicators, and so on. Once we've concluded the discovery session, and we're all on the same page about what we want this project to accomplish, where we're trying to go, then we'll move on to what we call the design phase. And essentially in design, we are designing the strategy, the content strategy, the technological strategy, and so on, that will get us to the end result. So in this design phase, I mentioned we design content. So what we'll do is we'll vet all the content on your current website. And there's a lot of content on your current website. I don't need to tell you that. We did a quick count, and there's about 187 pages just on cityofsylvania.com, plus each of those pages has links and documents that go to other places. So it's going to be the job of our information architects to vet all that content, to separate the wheat from the chaff, to see if there's some that might be redundant, to see if there's maybe some holes, to see if some is just outdated, isn't needed. They'll vet that content, and they'll work it into a new, what we call, information architecture. And that's essentially just the way that we organize navigation and the way that a user will find information on your website. It's what we want to happen is to make sure that, you know, Mark talked about some of the best practices in the ways that the websites are organized, municipal websites are organized nowadays. For example, you know, this focus on task-centric design. We know that, you know, the user comes to your website with a specific task in mind. So we'll want to organize the information on your website in that fashion so they can quickly and easily, intuitively do what they came to do. And of course, creative design is a part of this process as well. Typically, the way this process works is our web design team will put together a visual look and feel that represents the brand essence of the city of Sylvania. It tries to visually communicate what you're trying to say about yourself. And they'll put together a couple of designs, and they'll bring them in front of the committee, and we'll talk them through. And what do you like? Here's what we're trying to do with this design. What do you like? What do you not like? And there'll be plenty of opportunity for back and forth and feedback until we get to a position where we're happy with the finalized design. To give you an idea of what that process is like, Mark and his team back in the shop have put together a couple of speculative designs. And, we by no means are we suggesting that this is the way the website should look. We would never dream of, you know, bringing a design without getting your input first. But we want to let you see kind of what we mean when we talk about clearer, more intuitive, user-friendly design. We want to give you an idea of what the comp design process looks like in practice. So I'm going to ask Mark to show you a couple of designs here that we have put together. Thank you, Club. So I'll pull them up on screen, and I have some bullets here, which you can take a look at. I'll show these to you. So this first design takes a look at the city homepage, with a clearly structured navigation system, search predominantly up front, and a way to quickly get to primary content. It's designed for legibility, clean interface, with an eye for mobile, which we'll talk to in a few minutes. So that's sort of the first design, sticking with your current sort of brand color scheme, the orange and green, and moving that forward. And you can see a little bit more of it on Mark's board. Yeah. Cut off the screen.
There we go.
Full page.
So up top we have sort of photo type content, and below more informational news, trending articles, and so forth. And this one is a focus on news and getting information.
The second design, we look at.
Sorry.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep. That's what we do. So you can hand these around the table to go through those.
I would agree with him saying we're going to get like a flash drive of our proposal and we'll email it to you as well if you don't like.
And the second design, similar with overall navigation structure with the menuing at the top, but more emphasis on search, as you'll see at the top.
to engage users immediately in finding what they're looking for if it's not provided on the main page. And you'll see the gray links at the bottom, which are all clear on this board, task-based. So people come in to do certain things, accomplish certain tasks, and those are listed here. So we have half a dozen of these primary activities. The other sort of trending news information is lower down the page. And it's a single-page design concept, and this would conceivably even be a little deeper to accommodate all those important first tasks. And a different aesthetic, but overall built around task and user goals.
So once we've concluded that comp design process, I've once had an opportunity to offer some feedback, and we've narrowed it down to one design that kind of captures what we're trying to do and everyone's happy with it. Then we move on to what we call the development phase. The development is essentially where we really roll up our sleeves and get to work. We actually do the coding and the programming, building the website itself. The single most important thing that happens during the development phase is the development and the installation of a new CMS. Not CMS content management system. So, obviously what we want when we build you a new content management system, we want it to do a couple things. Certainly we want it to be flexible, we want it to be extensible, we want it to be built on a sound technology that's, going to take you through the next 5 years and beyond. So you don't have to do a replacement of your technology anytime in the foreseeable future. Probably more important than that is we want it to be exceedingly user-friendly. We want it to be simple to the point where none of the non-technical members of the City of Sylvania staff are going to have any problem making changes to the website. So the non-technical members of your staff will be able to change photos, change copy, add new sections if necessary, remove sections, and so on. Our goal is to, at the end of the day, turn over a website to your team. That they're going to be able to run day-to-day without needing to call us every time, some minor change is required. So kind of the benchmark that we use is, if you're familiar and comfortable using Microsoft Word, you should be more than capable of navigating this CMS. So we build the CMS, we do the programming, we integrate the features, we migrate all of that content, maybe it'll end up being 187 pages, maybe we'll be able to weed a few out, but we migrate all that content from the existing City of Sylvania website over to the new content management system. We incorporate those social media features that Mark talked about. We build in the best practices of search engine optimization that we know are so important nowadays. And then, of course, we do lots and lots of testing. We want to make sure at the end of the day, we don't want any surprises and we know neither do you. John, you probably elaborate on kind of our testing procedures to do it more justice than I could.
The QA testing process involves multiple browsers and multiple operating systems to ensure whether somebody comes on Windows or Mac can access any of the different browsers that people use today, Internet Explorer, Firefox, Chrome, different ways. The QA testing process also tests for bugs and bad links and things of that nature just to ensure the functionality works.
We have a dedicated team that does nothing but test websites. So at the end of the development process, essentially what we have is a fully functioning version of the new cityofsylvania.com, ready to go, except it lives on what we call a development server, which means it's not live and open to the public. So this is an opportunity for all of you to go have one final look at the site, see how it works, play with things, give a final round of feedback before you give us the green light and you say, all right, let's go push it, launch it, let's put this into the live environment. Once we do that, we move into what we call the delivery phase, which is basically the final step in this process, where we deploy it into its live environment, do an additional round of testing just to make sure everything transferred over as we expected it to. And then we kind of move into what we call an ongoing stewardship phase, where of course we want to train your employees to make sure that everybody is comfortable with the new CMS, so there's no questions on how they can update and modify things themselves. And then we look at some ongoing activities. Obviously with an extensive web redesign like this one,
there's going to be lots of new analytics, lots of new information pouring in. So we'd recommend that, you know, we give things, you know, maybe 2 or 3 months for trends and themes to become salient. And then we can revisit things and make any small minor tweaks that, that might be necessary once we've had a chance to get some analytics to study. So once phase one is done, essentially what we've done is we've gone through a discovery session that's going to inform the whole project. We've vetted the 197 pages of content in your current website. We've gone through that process of separating the wheat from the chaff, moved it all over to the new CMS, applied the new design to the new CMS, installed those analytics that we can use to track and measure ROI, incorporate all those social media functions, test, and more test, and then finally train your team. And once we come to that this phase, we can, you know, as Mike said, I mean, we can either pause, wait for a new fiscal year to roll over, or we can immediately launch into the next phase. In fact, we could concurrently do the next phase if that's what you wanted to do. But there's a lot of flexibility there. So phase two, essentially what we're doing is we're taking that brand new web experience we designed for the desktop and we're moving it into a mobile environment. As Mike said, right now about 20% of the traffic that comes to the thecitysylvania.com comes through some type of mobile device. And we certainly don't need to tell you that every month that 20% gets a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. That's just the way trends are going down. So we certainly want to make sure that we're well designed for a mobile environment. Now when we went through phase one, you know, we kind of presented this in a very process-oriented way so you could see what it would be like to actually work with us. We certainly don't need to belabor that process. So as we present this next couple phases, we'll focus more on actually the deliverables and what we're trying to accomplish with each of these phases. But just know that that same four-step process of discover, design, deliver, and develop is in place each and every one of these. So in phase two, the mobile design phase, essentially what we're doing is we're taking that experience, we're adapting the theme and the layout for mobile phone and tablet use. We're making all those images scalable for responsive design, and we'll test it in all the common platforms. So whether people are coming through an iPad or an Android device or an iPhone or whatever the case may be, they're going to get the experience we want them to get. And Marcus has put together some designs to show you what that might look like in different mobile environments.
We have some boards to pass around as well and some images to look at here. So when we talk about responsive design, we're talking about PC websites scaling to fit the smaller form factors of the mobile handheld platforms. The iPad tablet experience is somewhat similar to the main website, slightly narrower page width, consideration for not having a mouse to hover over and get additional menus. It's a touch experience, and it accommodates those touch nuances. Pass that one around. So this is that first design we looked at, which is more the information news type approach. And along with that experience, the mobile with a simplified navigation, and your primary view essentially is your navigation. Brief introduction to the city with the brand and logo, some imagery, but essentially it's that task-driven experience, more for news and information. And I'll hand that around to you. And that second design we looked at, also with the tablet experience, scaled to fit, much like the PC site with the task-driven menus available on the homepage, with search more prominent on that. And as we can see in the mobile experience, menus take priority. In this case, it's the task-driven approach where users get to immediately go to the area of the site they're interested in, and we provide them that access. That top right-hand corner with the three little lines, that's your main menu. So at any point in your mobile experience, you can tap on main menu and interact with the main menu, which could be deeper than the six we're seeing, and that has vertical scrolling capability to provide you with deeper menus, depending on which section you're in. But in all cases, it's a responsive design, moving across to mobile, keeping the brand experience the same, keeping navigation paradigms similar, but providing more ready access for the mobile users with less taps to get to where they're going.
All right, now you guys are up.
And again, the reason that we face it this way is because that, you know, the primary site speaks to a broader audience, speaks to not only the citizens here, and of course, you know, the police and court systems are obviously important to the citizens, but, you know, that primary site speaks to the economic development crowd, the tourist crowd, and all those groups that, that may not be focused on this type of information. So for that reason, we put this as kind of third phase. Essentially, what we're doing in the third phase is very similar to what we did in that phase one redesign of the city of Sylvania website. In fact, if you look at the size and scope of the police and court websites, it's really about the same. There's about 180 pages on those two sites combined, so really it's almost the same size site. Police and court together is the same size as the whole city of Sylvania website. So it's a fairly large undertaking, but we're going to realize some efficiencies when we go through this process. Because we don't have to redesign, we don't have to build a CMS, because we've already built the CMS for the city of Sylvania website. So that's one thing that we don't have to do here. Additionally, we don't have to do a whole new design, because we've already put together the design for the Mark Shack. So we'll just modify that design slightly for the police report website. So that's another efficiency there. So essentially what we're doing in this phase is vetting the content that's on the current police and court websites, moving it over to the new CMS, installing the analytics, installing the social shareability functions, and so on, just as we did with the main website, and then we go through our testing launch procedure. So, process-wise, very, very similar. Amount of content that moves over, very similar, but will take us a little bit less time because we've already built that CMS and already done the design. And finally, come to our fourth and final phase. This phase is focused on some very specific needs and wants that were identified by the different stakeholders that John and I met with when we came to the bidders conference. You know, I would say once we get to the end of phase three, we've got, you know, the mobile, we've got the main site, we've got the police and court websites, the city of Sylvania is going to have a great website. Phase four is kind of focused on taking it from great to exceptional. So there's some very specific niche-type features that we can start to explore here. And the reason that we've kind of put these in their own phase is because they do speak to a smaller audience. We understand that, you know, that funds aren't unlimited here. So we wanted to, you know, if you're going to commit budget to this, we wanted to do those things that address everyone's needs. And now we can start to talk about some of the more specific things. So the way this process would work is we would sit down and do individual stakeholder interviews with individual department heads within the city. We'd learn about your specific pain points, you know, maybe specific issues that you are always getting calls about, that type of thing. So these are going to be issues that are important to, you know, mainly one department. The streets and traffic department need some sort of a widget that could, you know, spit out information about construction. Maybe we need some sort of a widget that can talk about, you know, trash collection today, or something along those lines. Those are the types of things that we might be talking about here. So this is an opportunity for us to build those types of things into the website. It's also an opportunity now that we've had, you know, probably several months at least to study data and analytics and get some information. It's an opportunity for us to incorporate any additional analytics functionality we want to stick in there. Maybe there's some other things that we think are worth measuring. We can build them in at that time. And the final bullet that we included here is content editing and copywriting. As I said earlier, the city of Sylvania has kind of a brand positioning document that says, you know, this is what the city is, this is its essence, this is what it embodies. And in an ideal world, all of the copy, the tone, the verbiage, the personality that copy conveys on your website would be aligned with that brand. So to do that, basically we tasked a team of copywriters to go through all the copy on the website
and rewrite it to make sure that it's well aligned with the voice of the Sylvania brand. So obviously with 187 pages of content, that's a fairly extensive endeavor, but one that we thought worth addressing in phase four. So finally, we get to the end of the full redesign process. So let's talk briefly about cost. You've seen these costs in the written proposal that we submitted, but we'll put them up here for discussion again. A couple of points I want to make about cost and time here. One, you'll notice that we've given everything in terms of a range. The reason that we've done that is because we based these estimates on what we know about you today. Obviously, it's missing the most important voice, and that's yours. We haven't had the opportunity to go through this discovery session, the discovery session that's going to inform all the aspects of this project from beginning to end. So without that input, we can't be precisely sure what we're going to be building in this new website. You know, you may have opinions that are slightly different than ours on which tasks need to be elevated, or maybe which tasks can wait till a little bit later, which features we need to build right away, and which features we might be able to build a year down the road, and so on. So we've put together a range to kind of account for some of that ambiguity and some of those unknowns at this time. The other point I'd like to make is that these costs are largely driven by the sheer volume of content that is already on your website. So you know, we have a little bit of an inside view of your website since we, our development team, still touches your website periodically to make updates and changes. So we can see how much content really is there. For example, the City of Sylvania website has 187 pages of content. So let's just say theoretically we spend just an hour on each page to look at, to vet the content that's there, to look at all the links that come out of each of those pages, to look at all the PDF documents that you have embedded in each of those pages. So if we spend an hour on each of those pages, that's nearly 200 hours total. That's 5 weeks of work for one person right there. And that doesn't include things like programming and design and things like that. So you can see how that much content makes things quickly add up. So I would say that's the primary driving factor behind where you see these numbers. As we conclude here, we're happy to address any other questions. I know Mike has a couple of things he wants to say as we close.
Just a couple of points of view on maybe why us again. Played the point of difference on not just an integrated agency, but an integrated agency with all these fine digital folks under our roof. So everything we're going to be able to do for you, we'll be able to do within our walls. Spent a lot of time working with Mike and his team on cityofsylvania.com. Hopefully he'll say nice things about us. I think you've had a pretty good experience with the agency working on the original build, and I'd like to believe that would be true again. As Todd just nicely pointed out, we've got an insider's perspective, which I think is a real strength, but also because of the way we quoted this, might be a little bit of a weakness as well, because we understand this website so well. We know how much content is there, and so we're giving you a real honest perspective on what we think it's going to take to do it right. And we know that with that comes a price tag, but I think that also comes an ability to hit the ground running and give you an honest perspective. That phased approach we hope helps, because back to that fiscal responsibility that we certainly respect with you folks as council members, it gives you the ability to eat this big elephant one bite at a time as you choose. But 6 years is a long time in wetland, and it certainly needs to be updated. Certainly we talked about our experience in municipal government and regional points of view, so I think we understand how you folks work and what you're all about. We understand government from a client point of view, and so we'd love to continue to have the opportunity to work with you, and we work with many other fine entities like you. And last but not least, be remiss in not saying thanks for the work in the past, and we'd love to continue to work with you. It means a lot to us, and you've been a great partner before. So threw a lot at you. I know you've had a chance to read this. Appreciate the chance to come and talk to you about it. We'd be happy to answer any questions that any of you might have. So, thank you.
Why don't we start with members of council, Katie, Mike, Sandy.
So I'm not sure if I'm getting it. So the first phase, you're redoing the website, and then the second phase, you're redoing it again for the mobile device?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it redoing. We're just, you know, when we get done with phase one, we'll have a beautiful, attractive, you know, website for the desktop. But if you try to go there with your iPhone, for example, you just get a smashed-down version of that same website.
Right, that's what we have now.
Still better than the current experience that people are getting, but not the ideal experience that people have. So we've broken off kind of the, it's not really redoing it, just kind of modifying the design so it renders well on that iPhone and that iPad. So it's a smaller chunk, but we thought it was worth breaking out separately, just so you didn't have to swallow all of it one time.
We're building a mobile version of your website instead of the way it is now. Does that make sense?
It does. And then how will it be easy for Laura to update? Say we want to incorporate an advertising segment. So you go figure out what your recycling schedule is, and then it's kind of like the Yahoo News, and then there's a, like a teaser, and it's, you can say, oh, look, there's a film festival, or there's something going on this weekend, something so people are attracted to something they weren't looking for, so we're more of a promotional.
You know, back to your mobile question, though, I mean, if we just built Lazy Boy's mobile website this past year, and they have amazing traffic to them, so if you look at the designs that Mark showed you, you're not going to see, as Todd said, that scrunched down version. You're going to see something like this that's a lot more mobile friendly.
And that'll be fun, so the promotional part will be really flexible, so it could change really quickly. Like, you know, today's news is not what you wanted yesterday, or, you know, everything changes so quickly, and we want it to be easy for Laura to be able to.
Yeah, you're really talking about content management.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a second question. I think I've got to this, and I probably shouldn't be answering this because these guys probably all kick me. But the CMS system that we're going to build, I've got on our CMS system, and it's, as Todd said, it's almost a Microsoft Word driven thing. These guys are technically pretty savvy, but I mean, I think they'll be able to make changes really efficiently and really easy with the version of the CMS system that we're going to recommend to be able to do it on their own.
Yeah, the simple answer to your question is yes. Yeah. It's going to be exceedingly simple, beginning to end, so that those issues that you currently face won't be issues anymore.
Right.
Any one of you could go in there and quickly and easily update those. Do you guys agree with that?
Yes, just add the original website content management system we built in phase one is scalable to mobile. We just want to build in all the bells and whistles that will make it fully web mobile optimized. But those controls, those editing tools will be there in the overall content management system to start.
So I make one change and it changes both the PC and the mobile?
Yeah. Images will scale, text will scale.
Okay.
Yep. Correct. All the ones run anywhere.
Right. Well, it keeps on going through my mind is that when we originally developed the website, you know, 6 years ago, I was pretty new. I think the final phase of the whole thing. Has technology changed that dramatically in the last 6 years that we didn't plan for this when we originally did the website? Or was it something that we did not request because of cost?
I would say it's option A. I mean, you know, just for, you know, I'll let these guys go through the details, just for top of my example, 6 years ago, we never thought that the bulk of web browsing would be done through a phone. So that's just one way. You know, I mean, we used to throw around kind of the number that technology doubles, whatever, every 18 months or so. So, you know, if you kind of project that over that period of time, you can see that we've gone through multiple generations of this technology.
How long have we had the iPhone? When did that launch?
It's only been, five or so, 6 years. About that time. Yeah.
I wouldn't even say it has been 5 years.
No, not quite 5 years.
Yeah. So this is a pre-iPhone website.
Yeah, we had a discussion about this at council a couple of months ago, and there was some challenge about whether, so, you know, the iPhone technology, the mobile app, that technology was really relevant. We had that entire batch who rose was filled Notre Dame at St. Ursula, and was there for a class project. So we asked them how many of them got their information from their mobile phone. They all raised their hands.
So, you know, that's the reality that we have to take. We get that.
But then even though those phones rolled out, the change in speed and the ability now to use those phones to gain access is growing so quickly that, you know, in our industry, we're building things, as Todd suggested, to you know, both mobile and now these iPad or these PadTech applications. So I think your question's fair. But you guys really built a really nice website 6 years ago, and it was a significant investment for your community. It really was. We respect that. But our private clients are changing their websites every couple or 3 years. And I don't underestimate the investment you guys are talking about making again, whatever you do. But I don't want to have you think you got to change the stuff often, but you've got to make investments in your technology pretty regularly, just like I'm sure you do with computers and whatever. I mean, we're changing out our hardware in our office every 3 years because that's what these guys work on. So it's a genuine question. Spent a lot of money. So much has changed in technology in 5 or 6 years. It's almost mind-boggling. So I think you guys built a great website, not just because we helped you, but a lot's changed since. I hope we answered your question. I'm not just trying to defend it because it was us, but I think so much has changed since that it's just my model.
I'm not as savvy as my wife is.
Integration with Twitter and Facebook and the other, with your site, can we enter it once and have it end up all three places, or do we end up putting Twitter feed that then transfers over to the website, or how's that work?
It could go directly from the website to the social media properties if that's what you desire. It's very simple to do. Nowadays, they integrate it in CMS where, as you say, you put something in there, say you post news, you post a blog post, and it can also post directly to your Facebook or Twitter page if that's what you'd like. Or the page could just include the last things you put on Twitter or Facebook. It can go either way.
Okay.
Total integration with social media.
And I think ultimately what we do is have a kind of in the discovery phase, have a discussion with you guys about is that the way you want to go, or do you want your Facebook messages to, you know, do you want the content to be flavored a little bit differently for Facebook as opposed to Twitter, as opposed to Pinterest or whatever it is? Because, you know, each of those platforms has its own little nuances, and the way people use them is a little differently. So, you know, we can talk about content strategy in the discovery session to figure out what the best way to go about that would be.
Question. You talk about creating a new CMS. Would you build on what we already have, what we're using, which is very easy to use, especially coming from me? The current CMS is very easy to use. Would you build on that? Would you create something brand new? Would you use WordPress? What would the CMS be like?
I'll defer to the tech team.
Okay.
We would go through the process of talking to you, the IT audit, to figure out what's best for your environment, sort of first, but using the industry standard CMS like WordPress, which is open source and used by a great portion, and it's definitely a budget consideration.
Okay, so that's an option.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted my hunch at this point, it's that we would put you on an open source CMS like WordPress.
That would update automatically any
code would be accessible and easy to use.
Yeah, I mean, one of the, we don't want to be in a situation a couple of years from now where we're in a CMS that's technologically irrelevant.
Okay.
You know, we know something like WordPress, that's never going to happen because there's a massive developer community that's always making updates and tweaks and making sure that it's consistent with the way people are using the web, consistent with best practices and so on. Might as well let them do all that work for free, because WordPress is a free platform, then, you know, then pay a firm to do all that stuff, to have to deal with the proprietary CMS.
We've got a pretty fun website for ourselves. We built it with WordPress. It's worked great.
Okay.
And so, but we'll look at what makes the most sense for you. Mike?
What about hosting? Right now we have it on our servers. Is that something you guys offer? Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's... it's broken. I got to call you anyway to fix it. So is there a better way?
Yes.
As part of that discovery process, that's something we talk through. We make a recommendation for you. We would not try to host it ourselves. I mean, that's, you know, we're an ad agency. You know, we don't have the infrastructure that somebody like Rackspace does it really well. So, you know, we can continue to host the website on right here, just like it's done now. You know, or we might make a recommendation to move it someplace like Rackspace, where it's, you know, it's relatively inexpensive to do that. And then you don't have to worry about what happens if the website goes down at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night. You know, someone doesn't have to come in here and fix it. You know, Rackspace has already got people, you know, working on their stuff 24 hours a day to make sure that it's up, it's reliable, it's redundant, and so on. So usually a solution like that is the best bang for the buck. But we're certainly happy to talk through all options with you and figure out what makes the most sense.
The costs involved in outsourcing hosting are really pretty nominal for the size website you're talking about. We usually do make recommendations, but I've consciously chosen not to get to that again because the cost involved to compete with vendors like that is ridiculous. But we're happy to, you know, we do that for clients all the time. Make recommendations.
Typically, too, the relative option affords you the ability to use the cloud. I've heard that term multiple times, but the cloud is a distributed environment. It's a little more safe because information is spread throughout data centers, not just in one place. So if something went down, it would still be available. It's a lot better for a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, so where we stand today, my guess is that we would probably recommend that you move to a solution like that. It's safer, more reliable, more redundant, and it's relatively expensive. And then it takes the headache off of your hands.
If we go to an open source CMS, they're constantly evolving and updating whatever. Is there a schedule, a fee schedule that you could give me that would let us know to keep our site at the newest, to make sure that the newest tools or plugins or whatever are available to us rather than stall?
You do bring up a valid point, because in, for everybody's knowledge, and I've learned, for those, because I'm with you, my wife's not much more tech-savvy than I am, but you've got to keep this stuff up to date, like new software. It's like the latest version of Microsoft Word. So to Mike's question, and it's important that you or we help you keep the latest version of this CMS up to date, for it's like a whole piece of software. So we can make some suggestions, and part of it is doing some stuff to work with you on search engine optimization and other things. Yeah. And those are some things where a partner like us can help. We're not trying to continually, you know, send bills your way with certain things like that. Even though open source CMSs are free, you've got to keep them up to speed.
There's still costs involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
But with SEO and search engine marketing,
yeah,
you know, as we try to move forward with the economic development. Analytics, going over analytics, and let us know what's working, what isn't. Kind of an idea of what that might cost us down the road would be helpful.
We've got a full-time, I know we're getting short on our hour, we've got a full-time analytics person on board, and basically that says where are people coming to your site, how they're using it. You make adaptations to your site based on how people are viewing your site. That's how we realize that 20% of people are mobile looking for. So another good question that Mike asked, we can get back to some thoughts.
And just remind the committee members that we did have had in the past kind of maintenance contracts with HART after the initial site was developed, that we use that to good advantage. Sandy, any questions for you?
I'm going to let Kim from the Savannah Historical Village have my time, because I offered it to us.
And Kim was writing diligently, so I emailed her the proposal.
I'm a board member of the Savannah Historical Village, so I'm concerned with the way the site will make us, you know, stand out more. I have some questions about the software. I think maybe some of these might be alluded to what Mike has said as well, but is there like a list of extension, file extensions? I mean, can it accommodate audio, video, RSS feeds, you know, any of those kinds of things?
All those things.
It's so it is.
Audio, video, pretending okay. That's part of
okay, yes. So there's any kind of interactive kinds of things that we want to add those into our part of the page.
Correct.
Well, we could do that.
Yeah, okay. The landing page is will be supported on the page.
All right, and as technology changes, I think this is sort of what Mike said, but I want to make sure I understand this.
So if there's a new kind of an extension or a new kind of thing that pops up somewhere down the line, is the city going to get charged for that if you add that additionally to the software?
Typically, the features in the open source world, unless you buy something that's like a premium or supported type of plugin or add-on, don't have a cost supported by the community. The only cost involved with you, whatever the project would be, put that into the site, you have to do that. But in many cases, it's very simple to add things like that when the community supports that.
Thank you.
Yeah. What the CMS that you know, we put the site on is going to be a modern CMS that many of the best websites are on, whatever platform you choose. So all the features and functionalities that you see on the best corporate websites are going to be available in the system. And as John said, these updates roll out regularly, and we'll work with you to come up with an ongoing stewardship plan to tackle things like making sure that the website is current and up to date, making sure search and optimization is where you want it to be, and so on. So all the concerns that you raised with technology changing and new file types and things like that, all that stuff will be a part of that regular updating and ongoing stewardship plan. And you asked about cost, and obviously it depends on specifically what we're providing you, but generally speaking, I can say it's compared to the cost of the website development itself, it's not. We can certainly get an exact figure, but I don't think you're going to be shocked by it. It's a relatively not cost.
Any other questions from the department members, Christy or the service folks, or
if there's time, I'll take my question. I'm concerned about a couple of things. Phase two, my understanding is of this whole situation is phase two is what we want. And we've been told by you, I believe, that our system that we have right now cannot be phase two. it can't do the mobile stuff. Am I right so far in my understanding? Okay. So phase two is what we're going after. I mean, phase one, I guess we have to do because what we have won't do phase two. So I think right away we need to jump to that larger, the addition of one and two together. It looks like we're talking what? Yeah, and then the amount of time. Now, 124 days and 35 days, that's addition, right? That's not concurrent.
We could make that concurrent. I think we were trying to be sensitive. I think you're dead on in your thinking. And I think what we were trying to be sensitive to is if we were you, we would build them side by side and launch them at the same time. But we were also trying to be budget sensitive to show you that you could do this over a number of months if you were trying to be not do this all in one fiscal year. So if you want to launch the website, the mobile site at the same time, no problem, roll them out at the same time, and you can do them for a rolled out price. You uncovered our exactly, but we were trying to be fiscally responsible as well.
In that regard, Mike, I wonder, because I think I'll ask this now, because I might ask it later. If we could roll up phase one and phase two, which would give us a range of 74 to 82, I think, and look at it from the perspective of us trying to budget it and understanding that we want to budget some of that phase one and phase two, maybe in this year and then the rest of next year, because the budget number for this year is very ambiguous. Okay. So if we can have you maybe break out the natural flow of things in a way that gives us some things to get started on this year, up to a certain price point, and then a second phase for next year, finish it off for phase one and phase two, I think that would help us a little bit trying to help us with our recommendations to the full council. Is that doable?
Sure.
Can you look at it that way instead of the way you look at it?
Yeah, so essentially we're talking about maybe doing like discovery and design this year, and then come January 2nd, then do development and deploy the site, something along those lines.
I think that makes that's a cutting it up into bite-sized pieces.
Calendar year, so December 31st is around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, we can get that kind of.
And do you, are we aiming for roughly splitting into two equal halves, or do you?
I'd rather see it more in, if you would, with the natural flow of it is. I mean, I don't want to have you distort the process by trying to fit it in the budget.
Okay.
So, you know, just a third, two-thirds, that's okay for you. You know, we just need to, the council has no expectation for what it's going to cost this year. If we can feed it into the 2014 budget process, they get some, it would allow us to create some comfort. So I think we just need to be mindful of the fact that our colleagues haven't thought about this much at all. So we need to present the budget in a way that they can place it.
Sure.
And if we have another moment, I'd like to discuss phase four a little bit more when you say specific wants and needs. We had had a little bit of discussion with the previous folks about adding like the Arts Commission. I think the Sylvania Historical Village is already in there, but certainly upping the ante there. Sylvania Area Family Services, perhaps having all of the community, the downtown Sylvania Association. A couple of those are not on our website right now. They have their own website, but in the interest of shared services, which all communities are looking at right now, is that what we're talking about in phase four? Additions of other, I know we already have 187 pages, and I saw somewhere you put 197. Does that mean you get 10 more? And do we have to divide that up? Or no, what is the?
If I said 187 and 197, that was my mistake.
Oh, well, see, I'm an editor, so I would have noticed that.
Yeah, there are no bonus pages to my notes. Yeah, I mean, yes, that's the type of thing that we're talking about moving into phase four,
okay.
And mainly for budgetary reasons. You know, as we kind of go through the discovery process with you guys and we talk, you know, if you say, you know, we'd really like to put these things in right away, we can certainly do that. And it sounds like what you're describing is mostly just an additional section on the website, more content, more text, more pictures, more video, that kind of stuff. Things like that are relatively inexpensive. You know, that's not the thing that's going to break the bank. You know, if you tell us that, you know, we'd really like to do live streaming of city council meetings, or something along those lines, that's a more expensive feature. So maybe that's something, you know, things like that is really what we're envisioning. Things that are going to require some budget.
Okay,
that
so that would probably be phase four, where these other additions of activities.
We can probably squeeze
them
without breaking the bank. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a thought, though, maybe, Sandy, right, to your question, is maybe part of this year, which one costs a lot of money, if we gather some of those groups together, understand those with at least you can budget for them even if it's next year. So maybe if some of your tertiary groups that you want to understand you with that, maybe it's if not for more of it gets the people on the ground and understanding what it is you want to accomplish, even if you're building it into phase four, that's not a lot of time, not a lot of effort. Maybe some of them are simple and we can build into the process, because I think when these two guys came to the bidders meeting, they heard a lot of little one-offs. And it's really hard for us to estimate. We were also being sensitive. You guys may say, we just don't want to spend money on that, or yes, that's very important to us. So I think we're being sensitive to council, sensitive to the community, hard for us to estimate today. So we could probably give you a list, and you could say, my gosh, we didn't know that was that expensive, or boy, for $500, that's money well spent, let's do it. So maybe we could think through that, and we get that kind of a little bit of a short one for this calendar year, not cost a lot of money to make sure it gets the budget. So.
We are coming to the end of our time. Thank you so much. I think what our process is going to be moving forward is that the committee is ultimately going to need to make a recommendation to full council. Before we do that, though, we're going to ask Mike Tansey to collect any additional thoughts that folks might have after today. Maybe have a little bit more budget discussion with you about that phasing and timing piece. And then this committee will meet again in the next 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, to discuss where we think we are and make a recommendation to council. And then that would go to council, you know, at some point in May or June.
We'll leave you these, Mike, if you like them. And
thank you.
We've got a flash drive, right?
Yep.
We've got a flash drive, and we'll email it to you as well.
Okay, John, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll leave these on here.
Is that cool? Or you want them over here?
Sure, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Anything else from the committee today? If not, we will plan on meeting again in a couple of weeks. Mike, you can drive that process. Let us know.
Okay.
When you're ready, and we are adjourned at 11:06.
Thank you.